From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 18th day of August, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with AgMarket.net's Matt Bennett. We'll hear about the pork patio across from the grandstand at the Illinois State Fair and how the CME Group has been providing 4-H'ers with scholarships through the governor's sale of champions. And then as we close out our time together, we'll talk about the weather forecast too with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather, and it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, September corn for the day settled at $6.19¾, up 4¾. December 3¾ higher at $6.15¾ a bushel. And March contract at $6.22¾, up 3½. September soybeans, $14.95½, up 20¼. November at $14.05¼, up 15¼. And January futures up 15 cents at $14.11½. The bean meal, $8.80 higher at $449.40. The bean oil at $66.26, down $1.15. Wheat futures suffered losses, down 31½ cents at $7.31½ for the September. In the soft bread, the hard red at $8.12½ for the September, 38½ cents lower on the day. Matt Bennett now joins us from AgMarket.net. Hi, Matt. Thanks much. I hear you've been traveling. You're in O'Hare. Where have you been?
Yeah, I went to Dakota Fest this week, actually, up there in Mitchell, South Dakota. So I was able to get up there and talk to some growers about corn and bean prices and, you know, talk to them a little bit about how their crops are looking. It's definitely a mixed bag in that part of the world. Some folks have had enough rain and some folks flat out haven't had enough at all. So it's an interesting couple of days.
Yeah, you know, a couple of weeks back I checked in and it was, I think Sioux Falls isn't too far to the east of there, and they'd had, I don't want to call it enough rain, but more rain than those to the west of Mitchell. Is that kind of a dividing line that you've been able to find out about?
Yeah, it is. And quite frankly, you know, when you get south, for instance, of I-90, I think they're much drier. And the farther west you go, they're much drier. So it's interesting because when you talk to growers in Iowa, a lot of folks are saying that south of 80 is really dry. So the interstates seem to be kind of putting their emphasis on weather this year, but there's definitely a lot of disparity between growers as far as what kind of a crop they're expecting, and they certainly are talking about less than average yields and probably more growers than the other way around. So I think it's a little bit of a concerning situation for most of them.
How soon do they think they'll be in the field?
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit, yeah. Most of them got in fairly late because they were pretty cold and wet this spring. So I think that they'll be in the field a little bit later than what any of us are talking about.
Yeah, usually with dry weather, things dry up very quickly and they get into the field soon. And I just wondered whether that might be the case. Tell me about what happened in Chicago. Wheat really turned lower.
Yeah, I mean, wheat's really struggling. You know, we canceled a shipment there for Iraq yesterday and kind of spooked the market, and then people are talking about Russian crop basically being a phenomenal crop this year. So, you know, wheat fortunes have kind of changed all of a sudden over the last couple of days. I'd say of the big three, it was probably the one that we were thinking might have the best opportunity to kind of pull things up out of the doldrums, but right now it sure isn't doing so hot. So pretty frustrating day that we had again here today. You know, and then you look at the bean market, it was able to kind of stabilize. Yesterday we had small gains, but I'll tell you what, November lost 73 cents between Monday and Tuesday. So, you know, we're still trying to heal up from the start of the week.
What are producers asking you, or what did they ask you in the West? And do you think that's very much different than what they've been asking you here in our part of the world?
You know, especially when you get out there, one of the big things they're asking are how hot are these cattle prices going to get? You know, if they don't aren't able to get some rain in the driest areas of the Corn Belt, which happen to be, you know, for instance, Texas, Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska and South Dakota, you know, then there's a lot of question marks as to what's going to happen with liquidation in cattle. And later on in the year, you know, I mean, obviously that can have a big impact as far as feed usage is concerned. It can have a lot of impact on on a whole host of things. And but right now we're pretty friendly to this cattle market, and I think that that's pretty hard not to be from a fundamental perspective. But that's of course assuming that the equities markets hold true and that corn prices don't get excessively high again this year.
Yeah, this is something USDA leaned on last year based on drought conditions and what might happen with the cattle market, as they were talking about drought in the western United States continuing now. Could put some real pressure into the beef market, already has, to the upside. How long does it take for that to work into consumption for corn? Does it happen right away or does it take some time?
No, actually placements have been fairly steady so far. I mean, a little bit of a bearish surprise the last several inspections reports, but I think that this time around, you know, you're probably looking at a situation where people are expecting that you're going to see inspections fairly friendly. And so yesterday we saw the highest close we'd seen in months on October cattle. And I think, you know, that's something that you're going to continue to see, is that the speculators are going to maybe start to come back into this cattle market, you know, and going to be looking at it as an opportunity, because I look for placements to just continue to dwindle as the year goes on. And then I think that you can certainly see out into the first and second quarter of next year, you're going to start seeing some impact on corn usage.
One final note, this again on the demand side. We're reached the fall, the buses should be running, and kids are back in school, probably more miles driven by regular consumers. Do you expect the EIA numbers to pick up?
Yeah, once we start getting some new corn, I do think so. A lot of these plants just didn't want to go out and pay $2 over for corn. It seems to me that there was a fair amount of pullback from what we're hearing out of the ethanol industry, and is simply not wanting to chase the high cash prices. And so, you know, you see crude's finally trying to make a little bit of a rebound, but it was extremely oversold, so you had to expect that was going to be the case. But absolutely, once we start getting new corn on hand, I got to think that EIA numbers are going to start rebounding nicely. We'll probably get back into that 104, 105, 106 range on a weekly basis, would be my assumption.
Hey, thanks much, and have a safe flight out of O'Hare. We'll see you in a couple of hours here for Commodity Week.
Absolutely. Thanks, bud.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with agmarket.net. Joined us here at willag.org, willag.org, for the Closing Market Report. Hey, you know, the weather all this week has been fantastic, and it's not looking too bad all the way through Sunday. That's the end of the state fair in Springfield. If you've not ever been to the fairgrounds for this event, I urge you to make a trip there and to walk around the some 270 acres. It is a fantastic place to take your family, to take your friends, and just to enjoy a really, really good time. I also suggest that you stop by the Commodities Pavilion, where the beef producers, the lamb producers, and the pork producers all are working to put on some really great and tasty food that's not terribly expensive for you to enjoy at the fairgrounds. Lana Shovlin is with the Illinois Pork Producers Association, and Tuesday I spoke to her about the commitment that the pork producers have had to being in that commodities pavilion at the Illinois State Fair.
Yes, absolutely. So we've been here at the State Fair since the start, and we'll be here for the duration of the fair. The pork patio is open from 10:30 to 8:30 p.m. every day. And it's just a tradition of people coming to the State Fair and eating our delicious food. And so we have quite a few menu items that are, you know, staples that people come back for time and time again. Like yesterday, we had a gentleman, this was his 55th year at the State Fair, and he comes to the pork patio every year, and he got a pork chop sandwich for breakfast and then came back and got one for lunch. It's really nice just to see these returning people that come as a tradition for their family or for themselves, or even some of them come as like a reminder of coming to the State Fair in years past with people that are no longer with us. So it's, you know, more than just pork, obviously. It means more to people than that. But we do have people that are new to the pork patio, and for those people who are curious about what we may have to eat when they come in, we have your standard barbecue pulled pork sandwiches, which are delicious. We have a pork burger that will blow your mind. We also have chop on a stick, which I know a lot of people are very familiar with, but those who are not, it is basically a very giant, juicy, marinated pork chop where they wrap foil around the bone, and you can walk around the fair and eat your chop on a stick. We have the chopped sandwich, which is the same except it's boneless and on a bun. And we also have the pork twister, which is marinated loin, and then it's wrapped in bacon and sprinkled with brown sugar. And that's on a, like, on a skewer, so you can walk around and eat that too, and it's also delicious.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine people thinking about that last one. It just sounds wonderful. Why do the pork producers do it? Why are you here?
I think that we're here because we want people to realize our commitment to pork production and pig production in the state of Illinois, right? But also, pork is actually a very healthy meat to eat. And we want people to realize that there are different ways to prepare pork, that, you know, it doesn't just have to be your standard bacon that you would cook in the morning. There's a variety of things that you can do, especially the ground pork, which is relatively new in the markets. That's something that we want people to realize, that they can use that in lieu of any kind of meat that they would use in any sort of dish. And we also just do it because we love being here at the State Fair, and it's so nice getting to be in the Commodities Pavilion with other people who we see regularly. You know, we have beef is here and lamb, and it's just so nice to be able to be part of it and to feed the people at the Illinois State Fair.
Who's actually working the pork patio?
Okay, thank you for asking. That's a great question. So we not only have the staff from the Illinois Pork Producers Association, but we have the actual producers out here that come in. They take their time away from their farms to work our booths and to make sure that they are serving the community also. They want you to ask questions about pork production. You know, we want to be transparent about everything that goes on. We also have a lot of amazing volunteers from local schools. Some of the staff's children come in and work. You know, I mean, it really is, it feels like a giant family. And I say this all the time, I really lucked out coming into the pork producers, because you could not have a kinder bunch of people who are helpful and want you to feel knowledgeable about what you're dealing with. And we also really made an effort this year. We know that prices are high for families everywhere. And so people want to come to the Illinois State Fair, and of course they want to eat delicious food, but they also want to be able to take their kids and ride rides or go to a concert or, you know, go to a show. And so we made a really conscientious effort to keep our prices down. You can come to the pork patio and have a meal for less than $10. And, you know, that's important for a lot of people that are coming out here.
The Illinois State Fair runs through Sunday in Springfield. Children 12 and under are free for entrance. It costs just $5 to park your car inside the fence line. $10 for adults to get in on Friday and Saturday. Otherwise, today and Sunday, it's just $5. And those who are 60 and over, it's always $3. The Illinois State Fair in Springfield, it's a great place to take yourself, your friends, and your family. As you know, I was there Tuesday for the Governor's Sale of Champions that took place Tuesday evening. There are still some photos and some updates from that Sale of Champions on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Tim Andreessen was there from the CME Group. He's the Managing Director of Agricultural Products. The CME Group bought one of the animals at the auction, but more importantly, they're there, says Tim Andreessen, to make sure that young people have an opportunity to go to college, and they've been offering up scholarships, including some $50,000 worth this year.
It's great to be here in person to see all these young men and women, see their projects. It's something we're very big believers in. We pulled some data. In the last 10 years, we have committed $350,000 in scholarships to the Illinois State Fair and the 4-H. So it is something that, you know, we're putting our money in a belief that these are the future ag leaders of tomorrow.
Tim Andreessen is with the CME Group in Chicago this year. It contributed $50,000 to the 2022 Governor's Sale of Champions. This donation was split into 10 $5,000 scholarships. In addition, the CME Group purchased the Grand Champion Barrel for $25,000. It belonged to Drake Fletcher of Menard County, Illinois. We're now joined by Kent Reed. He is the chief appraiser for Farm Credit Illinois. As we make our way through a unique economic time with inflation on the horizon still, there were recession talks earlier in the year. How has farmland value held up for the last 12 to 18 months?
Well, Todd, I mean, it's been extremely strong. We just recently completed our benchmark study. And overall, if you're looking at the 60 counties of our territory, land values are up on average almost 28% year over year. If you're looking at the central Illinois farmland, you've obviously seen a lot of activity this past winter and early spring. And some of those farms, on average, they're up about 38% year over year.
What are your expectations for the rest of this calendar year and into next year?
So far, I mean, we've seen a scattered grouping of auctions, even this as we got into summer and late summer here. It appears like it's going to be fairly stable throughout, you know, the rest of this year going into next year. You're looking at, overall the condition of the current crop looks pretty good throughout the state. Prices are still pretty strong. So we're looking that it will stay fairly stable from this point.
Do you have underlying reasons for the dramatically increasing price of farmland? Is it just the number of acres that, or lack of acres that is going up on auction? Is it the price of commodities in Chicago? Are there other factors involved?
Well, I think both of those factors you're talking are strong factors to that lead us to these prices. You know, if you look the last couple, 3 years, the farmers have had some really good crops with some really good prices. You know, you go back a couple of years during the main part of the pandemic, and there were, some market loans and different things. And so the balance sheet has remained strong and got stronger. I think that's part of it. You know, if you look at Illinois, typically less than 1% of the farms that are out there are for sale. So there's still, you know, there's more demand at this point than there still is supply. So that helps strengthen them also.
When you look at the bottom line, you're the appraiser, but when Farm Credit looks at the bottom line for a producer or an individual that is wanting to purchase farmland, how has that changed in the assessment, if at all, or the needs of the underlying capital to make a purchase in the last 18 months?
Well, again, I think that the balance sheet of the farmers out here have been fairly strong with the crops, with the prices, and they, you know, they're making wise decisions of adding acres, additional acres. And, you know, the one thing that we're going to see is as the Fed continues, if they continue to increase interest rates, that could, you know, calm this down a little bit. But if you look long term, a lot of the farmers out there have got a lot of long term financing already in place at these lower rates. So maybe it doesn't hurt us as bad in the short term.
What kinds of things do you all talk about when you get together and discuss farm finances and the future? What are the concerns?
The concerns are, you know, with inflation, with the high input costs that continue, it appears like, to go up every day, you know, with the threat of raising interest rates continuing. Those are all factors that you know, we have concerns about, for sure.
Anything else before I let you go?
Well, and I guess the only other thing is the one thing that we never know is what these commodity prices will do in the future, and, you know, what world economic and disasters throughout the world will happen. So those are some other factors that you can't really control, but you're always obviously looking and concerned.
Hey, Kent, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Kent Reed is the chief appraiser for Farm Credit Illinois. On this Thursday, let's check the weather forecast with Mike Tenuri. He's at tstorm.net online. You can check him out anytime you'd like at T-Storm Weather. Thank you, Mike, for being with us. Tell me about the rainfall. It appears that's in the forecast for the Midwest. How widespread will it be?
It'll be fairly widespread, so there will be some rain over the next several days. A large system is approaching Minnesota as we speak, and that will pinwheel through the Corn Belt all the way through Sunday. Now, it's not going to rain all of the time as the system approaches and passes, but at any given location within the Corn Belt, there'll be about a two-day period with scattered showers and thunderstorms in parts of the region. So by the time this whole thing moves through, most areas will receive around a quarter of an inch on the low side to an inch and a half on the high side, with most areas in between. Some of the better rainfall totals are most likely across Minnesota and then around northern Illinois through parts of Indiana and Ohio, especially nearest Interstate 80. So we'll see how all this pans out, but there is some rain on the way over the next several days, Todd.
Are there places that are likely not to pick up rain?
Well, Nebraska and western Iowa are not in the bullseye for this event. Although the system is going to pass very nearby, and there will be some thunderstorms later today and especially tonight, the brunt of activity is going to pass to the immediate north and east. The reason we say that is because humidities won't be quite as high in that region as they are further to the east. And the path of the storm is going to essentially move just a little bit east of those dry areas. And typically with this setup, you end up seeing the best rains along the path and to the immediate north and to the immediate east. So that's going to leave that dry pocket from eastern Nebraska through southern Iowa and into northern Missouri on the drier side. Even parts of western Illinois might tap into some of this drier air and not be able to get a whole lot of rain out of it. And one thing to keep in mind, Todd, even though we saw some really good rains earlier in the week for parts of this region, 1 to 3 inches fell in parts of Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri, including those dry areas. That's pretty much all of the rain that we've seen for those areas over the last 30 days. And because of that, it's still pretty dry and they still need more rain. And the fact that this one is going to miss a little bit to the northeast is essentially going to prevent them from getting out of this situation if the forecast verifies.
What are daytime highs and nighttime lows look like over the period?
Well, they look pretty ideal. Highs in the 70s and 80s across most of the Corn Belt for a while. Lows in the 50s and 60s, very similar to what we're seeing today and what we've seen over the past couple of days. So temperatures are not going to be much of a factor as we move into next month.
Anything else before I let you go?
Well, we just need to see more rain once this system moves through. We could see some heavy totals in southern areas early next week, but that will mostly be in parts of Oklahoma, Texas, and into the Mid-South. These are along the edge of corn and soybean production, and it won't mean a whole lot to them, but it will improve soil moisture for hard red winter wheat areas of Oklahoma and Texas that will start to plant here in a few weeks. But other than that, Todd, we'd like to see some more rain. There are some chances out there next week, but nothing real obvious.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Yep, great being here.
We'll talk with Mike Tenuri again next Thursday. He joins us each Thursday here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always look him up online at tstorm.net. And that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org, or search us out in your favorite podcast application. Places like Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, even the NPR One app. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is performed and produced in courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.